Kickoff at 7 with myself and my broadcast partner, who I spend a lot of time with this time of year. So you may ask yourself, why would you want to talk to Kelso on the radio show when you're going to spend 3 hours, 3.5 hours with him Thursday night? Mark Kelso joins us live on the line. Hi, Mark. How are you? Are you sick of me yet? Four games
not
in?
Not at all, buddy. I'm just doing up some boards here.
You're
at the Detroit Lions. I can't wait for the excitement that was in your voice for that clip. I'm so sick of this preseason.
I know.
I imagine how the players are, because I'm tired of it. And they've been at it every single day at Fisher. And,
yeah.
And the new surroundings are great, but I'm sure they're really tired of the preseason.
I might not get that worked up Thursday. But there's something I want to ask you, because your level of preparation is legendary, Mark. We all know that. But I don't think I've ever seen you come in and watch preseason game video. And you were in here yesterday doing that, watching the Bills and the Bucks. You don't often do that, do you?
Yeah, no, not too often, because, the preseason is all about evaluating talent and young guys trying to make a team. It's not about schematic things, and you're not engaging this strategy that you're going to engage offensively or defensively. Generally, you're just playing base defenses, because you want to see what the skill sets are of the players that you have in the building and who ultimately is going to make that 53-man roster. But, occasionally you like to come in and certainly when there's a performance like the other night against Tampa in the first half and people are all upset and what's wrong with the offense and EJ is struggling and I need to watch film too. I mean, I can tell an awful lot on game day and when we're up there in the booth, but you can't tell all the little nuances and who's responsible or why he made a throw or didn't make a throw until you go and evaluate it on film. And so, I mean, in order to give an accurate assessment and give everybody a fair opportunity to see exactly what's going on the field, I mean, you need to go in the film room, and that's kind of the reason I did it, because I have some good, really good things to say about EJ too. But there are some things he needs to do better. There's no question. But certainly, what happened the other night in the first half was only. A small part of that was his fault.
Mark Kelso, our guest, the color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, will be calling the game with him Thursday night, the Bills and the Lions. So if you have a comment or a question about that game, about the upcoming game, last week's game, 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. But let's drill down into that, Mark. What went wrong? Let's start with that. What went wrong with the Bills offense in the first half against Tampa Bay?
Well, I mean, let's start with this. Number one is they were extremely vanilla. I mean, they weren't going to do anything other than run the zone read. They ran some what they call U-press when the offensive tackle and a tight end will block down, and the near guard, which means the guard where the play's going, will pull. And a couple times that was Eric Pierce, and he hasn't been in that situation very often. So they ran that play. I mean, they didn't really run any counter cutback. They ran a little bit of outside zone play too, where they have the offensive lineman trying to engage the defensive lineman, and then the running back's taking an outside track, and he's just kind of find the hole where it appears. I mean, a couple times what Tampa was doing then too is they were spilling those linemen. So they're outside linebackers, because they're playing 4-3 with mostly cover two. So they're playing, their outside linebackers are coming up and taking the inside shoulder of the guard. And that allows their middle linebacker to run over the top. Now, that's difficult for guys that haven't experienced that before, which Eric Pierce hasn't experienced that much, and nor had Cyril Richardson, which he was in there in place of Chris Williams, who we thought might get the start, but I'm not sure what the issue was with his back. So, and that takes some time to get used to, and that unit, that offensive line unit, needs time to work together to be a contiguous unit, and oftentimes they were not. I mean, one time Tampa Bay rushed six. We had six blockers, five linemen and tight end. Actually, Scott Chandler stayed in on that play, but three blockers went to the right, and there were only two pass rushers on that side, and the other four pass rushers were on the other side, so we had 3-3, and they had 4-2, so one guy comes free, and now, that's just an assignment there, probably because those guys have not played together for any length of time. That's the only modest concern that I have, is that group won't have a ton of time to play together before opening day in Chicago. And that unit needs to be cohesive in order to be effective offensively.
When you speak to how vanilla they were offensively, I keep thinking back to how often they ran plays out of I formation, like a standard, 21 personnel package I formation. I don't think, I told you yesterday, I'm guessing it was probably 2/3 of the time. I can't imagine they'll run regular season offense like that much anyway.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. I mean, there's going to be some pre-snap movements, which didn't occur. I mean, they're going to have guys in all kinds of different positions. Even if they are in an I formation, a lot of times the other night, like you said, the fullback, Frank was right in front of the running back. He wasn't even in a strong or a weak formation, so it'd be a strong back, so there'd be offset I, so he'd be to the strong side or a weak side I, which means he's over to the weak side. And they want to see what guys can do. They want to keep things simple. And again, part of the reason is because they know Chicago's going to be studying that film, and they certainly didn't want to do anything that might give the Bears' defensive unit an opportunity to prepare in advance for what the Bills might do on opening day. There are some things they can certainly do better. There were some throws EJ made that were terrific, and there were some throws that he needs to throw better, and he threw to the wrong hip or the wrong shoulder or didn't let the down extend itself long enough for the pattern to come available. And sometimes it was receivers they would play from a soft jam position, so about 4 or 5 yards off, the corners would for Tampa Bay. They'd come down on the snap, and as you mentioned, a lot of the times we're playing with 21 personnel, so you only have 2 receivers. So they come down and get their hands on the receivers. EJ drops back, and then by the time they escape, it's 3 seconds into the down, and he's looking to get rid of it. Nothing's downfield. He throws a check down. But a number of times that was because there were no receivers open downfield when he thought that time had expended itself and he got rid of the football. So, I mean, they've got to give him early opportunities early in the down as well to create separation and allow him to throw the football when they're open early.
Right, Mark, EJ, there's so much focus of attention on any quarterback. EJ, it seems, in particular. I'm not going to tell you there were people with, torches and pitchforks here, yesterday waiting to get at EJ, but there's a certain segment of fans that didn't like what they saw Saturday and put it all on him. It's not all on him, is it?
Well, yeah, no, not by any stretch of the imagination here. I mean, I'll give you a few plays that I think. I'll even give you some plays that I think he executed extremely well, and I'll tell you some things that I think he worries about and some things that he might be doing, I think, just because it's preseason and he's in the preseason and in practice, you want to try to execute things with perfect form, with perfect footwork and doing everything the right way. But when the game comes, you want to be able to exercise your athleticism and some improvisational skills. And those are some things that I think that he'll do come game time, but he's being overly focused on doing things in the way Coach Downing wants him to do it and working on his footwork, working on his arm slot and where he's throwing the football, things that when the game comes, he'll just use his athleticism and just let things happen and play the game and don't think about it so much. So, I mean, there's a couple of throws. There was one throw in Woods. I think it was an outside route, and he throws a perfect ball to Woods because they ran that little whip route a couple times. Williams ran it twice, so they go down and run an inside hook, and then once they run the inside hook, they just slide to the outside. And the reason they do that is because the cornerback, generally, they see the track that the receiver's taking, and they're going to attack the inside hip, so they just slide to the outside. Gives them a little bit of lateral separation, and the quarterback's to deliver the ball on the outside shoulder and the outside hip. So one time he does it perfectly to Mike Williams, and it's a completion. The next time he throws it on the inside hip, he's supposed to throw on the outside hip. That's on EJ. But Mike runs a good route, but that one's on EJ. Now Robert Woods does the same thing to the right side, and EJ throws a perfect ball, but Woods slips coming out of his break. So, I mean, it looks like an incompletion, and people are saying, well, he didn't throw the ball where he was supposed to. No, that ball was exactly where it was supposed to be, but the receiver, because he lost his footing, wasn't able to get to that spot. So, and there were times, there was one time when I think that was a throw to Woods across the middle, about a 15-yard in pattern, and he throws it on his back hip. And the reason he threw it on his back hip is because he got pressure, because Chantrell had a Chandler on his right side. The defensive end was all the way outside Chandler. So now the defensive end rushes from a wide nine. Chandler releases for the pass, and Chantrell blocked inside. So nobody touches the defensive end. And now EJ's under pressure, and instead of backing up a little bit, which I think he would do and use some improvisational skills, he steps into that throw, but he gets hit right as he's throwing it, and now that's on the backside of Robert Woods and falls for an incompletion. So there's, I mean, you can't really put that on EJ. I mean, he tried to get rid of it. He saw the guy that was open. He made the right read, but they got forced to throw before he wanted to because of the pressure from the defensive end.
Hey, Mark, when you talk about EJ just needing to use his athleticism more, et cetera, I've heard critics contend that he plays like sort of in a robotic fashion. Is that fair, do you think? Is that an accurate way to describe sometimes the way that EJ plays?
You know what? I would say that right now he's being a little bit more robotic than he needs to be. He has terrific athleticism. Let me tell you the play now. Now there are some plays that he really made. Okay, so when the play that he throws to Mike Williams over on the Tampa Bay sideline, that's a Ben Roethlisberger type play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he escaped. He had pressure on his right side. He escapes to the right side because it's a little running window. He sees Williams open downfield about 17 yards. He throws that ball on the run with velocity over the defensive back who's underneath in front of the safety who's over the top. And Williams, you know, tiptoes on the sideline there and makes that reception. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that EJ Manuel's capable of. I think he's being a little bit robotic, but I think it's by design because he wants to do everything right in the preseason because he's working on his footwork. Guys don't want to throw off their back foot. You don't want to throw off your back foot unless you're forced to throw off your back foot because if you get in the habit of doing it, you're going to be inaccurate. And he wants to work on his accuracy. And he's, I don't think he's just letting it go and playing this with the freedom that he would if he wasn't concentrating on all those things. And I think when the regular season begins, he forgets about those things when game time shows up. I mean, you still work on those in practice, but when game time shows up, you can't think about your footwork. You can't think about stepping into every throw. I mean, you have to let it go. You have to believe what you see. And I think that's exactly what will happen. I think he's made progress this offseason. And again, certainly all the situations that occurred from an offensive perspective in the first half the other night were just partly his fault. You know, there were a lot of other people that shouldered the blame for different plays.
Our guest is Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. We'll be calling the game for you Thursday night, 7 o'clock kickoff, the Bills and the Detroit Lions. One thing, Mark, let me just switch gears to the other side of the ball. We asked the question on the show last night for callers to chime in on. The Buffalo Bills run defense, if you think about, you know, they're giving up 2.6 yards per rush, the first team defense through four preseason games. If they haven't fixed their run defense problem from a year ago, it certainly looks like they're on the right track. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, defensive linemen, these guys use their hands really well. You know who impressed me the other night, too, and who had extended playing time was Corbin Bryant.
Yeah, we had him on the show a half hour ago, yep.
Oh, he was great. I mean, using his hands and his escapability at the line of scrimmage, and then, you know, he's been a guy that I think has had a really, really fine preseason. And Jerry Hughes has, and here's the thing about Jerry Hughes, he has done some really great things against the run this preseason. He's had a couple great rushes from the edge, but I don't really think he's focused on that because that's his skill set. I mean, that's his sweet spot is rushing from the outside. So he's been focusing on controlling offensive tackles or controlling tight ends and squeezing the edge so that he creates a limited space for that running back to run up into, and he's been doing a great job of that. And so, you know, I think in Jerry's, it's a similar to EJ's situation. He's been playing really well defensively, but he's working on parts of his game that he knows he needs to improve as the regular season unwinds. I mean, we don't have to worry about him rushing off the edge, man, because he's going to bring it. But what we do need to worry about is him working against guys that are much bigger frame in offensive tackles, and can he squeeze that opening? And he's demonstrated that he can do that extremely well. So, again, I think guys work on certain things in the preseason that they're not going to work on during game time in the regular season. They're just going to let it go. And the run defense has been great. There's a couple reasons to that. Even without Kiko Alonso in there, I mean, Brandon Spikes is as instinctive a linebacker as the NFL has. I mean, he just understands what's happening and can make plays and understands when he has the opportunity to run through if a guard pulls and when he can't run through because it would put him behind the running back. And then Nigel Bradham it's going to be a shame he's going to miss opening day because he's been playing terrific. And the only time they've had runs the other night, the only time that they had few opportunities to create some space in the run game is when guys try to do too much. Because one time, what they were doing with Brandon is they're lining him up a little deeper. So Nigel comes and takes that fullback on, and he goes underneath the block and forces the running back outside. But then he engaged the blocker and realized the running back's going outside, so he tries to go outside and make the play. But Spikes was already there. It's ready to make the play. And then I think it was, who was the running back? Martin, I think, cut back inside. And got a few yards, but that's just maintain the integrity of your defense. That's just a guy trying to do too much because he had already sealed that inside running lane. So, I mean, there's guys that have been playing really well inside, and then defensive backfield is starting to get some continuity as well now, and I think starting to figure out what they're going to do and what collection of people they're going to put on the field. And let me give you one more example. So yeah. I think there was I wouldn't call it a critical third down in the preseason, but there was a third down situation that I think Mike Evans caught about an 8 or 12 yard pass reception from McGowan, and it was over on the defensive right side. And it looked like he was pretty open. Stephon Gilmore was close. I can't remember who was playing safety at the time. But the Bills played a 3-3-5 in that situation. They had three down linemen. They had three linebackers and their nickel package. And all three linebackers dropped. So they dropped eight into coverage. And what happened is they didn't have good leverage points. The linebackers weren't sure exactly where they needed to be. So actually no one was where Evans was. I mean, they were all almost between the hashes, all three linebackers. One of those linebackers should have been just on the inside hip of Evans, and then that play wouldn't have occurred. Now, that's something I don't think the Bills did a lot of last year, and something that they will intend to do this year, particularly if they're going to be an effective blitzing team and then drop eight occasionally. And that's something they'll have to solve. But they haven't done it much in a game-like situation. So the other night they're doing it, not because they want to stop a third down. Obviously, they want to stop the third down conversion, but they want to execute the defense that they're going to have to execute in the regular season.
Yeah, that goes. I would think that goes towards preseason experimentation a little bit, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to work on certain things that you feel that are going to be part of your offensive or defensive packages without giving things away and without alerting the opposition in the regular season to what you might do to settle in on a particular strategy on game day, you know, when you're preparing for a particular opponent. Because, the Bills have done nothing offensively other than vanilla, honestly. I mean, you think Nathaniel Hackett's not in there every day drawing up. I mean, he's got so much stuff ready to go and drawing up that it's ridiculous. But he's certainly not going to show it in the preseason because he's got some dynamic weapons, and you need to find guys that can do simple things right as well. But I think they've got a lot of things dialed up for Chicago on opening day that will create some problems for that Bear defense. But certainly, they don't want to alert them to that this early and before the preparation time. Right. But the modest concern is the offensive line and having the five guys that are going to start on opening day make sure they get enough quality time together so that there aren't any of these situations where they slide protection one way and the running back goes the same way, so someone's unblocked, or where they block too many guys to one side and they leave a free guy open on the opposite side. So those things can't occur and expect to win games come the regular season.
All right, so what do we got dialed up for Thursday night, Mark, this final preseason game? What are we going to talk about? Should I bring in some recipes, or you want to talk about recipes? Or
please, bring something in, because I have no idea. Here's what I would do. If I were a fan.
How should fans watch this game Thursday night?
I'd pick a couple guys. I'd pick a couple bubble guys, whether it's on, I think there's probably a couple bubble guys on the defensive line. I mean, the secondary seems to be pretty secure. I don't know that there's too many questions there. The offensive line is certainly, there's going to be some guys that are still on the roster that might not make the final roster. And I would pick out one or two of those guys. And I would just watch them every play, quite honestly. I wouldn't watch the ball. I mean, you might, if you expand your vision a little bit, you watch the ball and that player. But watch what they do and watch the efforts that some of these young guys expend to have an opportunity to make this team. Because you don't get many opportunities in the preseason to make a play. I mean, you might, as a player, get five or seven chances. And if you make four, if you play four of those seven chances well, you have a chance to make the team. And if you play two of those chances well, you probably don't have a chance to make the team. So the margin of error you know, and the margin of success is so slim. So I'd watch particular guys and guys, again, that you think are on the bubble. I think there's some interesting things going on at the receiver position. I really think they're going to keep seven, but that means they can only probably keep two tight ends. And are they only going to keep two tight ends? I don't know the answer to that. So, you know, only the coaches do. But it would be interesting to watch those positions and watch the guys, the energy that they're going to expend in this game to make sure they do everything right for the time that they have in the game.
Well, you make a really good point, and I'm going to remember that both the next few days and then into Thursday. Guy, no matter what we think of this final preseason game, there are going to be guys out there playing for their lives. And you know what? I respect that. I honor that. We should remember that. I should remember that. I'm not lecturing you. I'm lecturing myself. I'm not lecturing you.
Yeah, but you're right, because I didn't even play my last preseason game in Philadelphia. I mean, they cut me before that, but that was the week that they decided to cut all the remaining defensive backs on the roster who weren't going to make the club. But you're playing your heart out, and you don't know. I think one of the reasons that I got signed in Buffalo is because of the preseason game I played with the Eagles in Cleveland. And Bill Polian got a hold of that film, and I made a bunch of plays in that game. And you know, then they bring you in, and they say, well, you know, the guy made a bunch of plays. He was a good player in college. Let's see if he might be a fit here, or see if what we saw on film is accurate with his athleticism and what his strength level is and all those things. So then these guys have an opportunity to get a couple good films and some good plays, and then maybe catch on with another club. And that's exactly what they want. They just want an opportunity to play somewhere, obviously, hopefully in Buffalo, but if not here, perhaps somewhere else around the lake.
Great, great point. Mark, we'll talk to you Thursday night. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Look forward to it, guys.
All right. Mark Kelso, my partner on the Bills broadcast. You can see why he's good at what he does. Look at the detail work that went into looking at the preseason game, the Tampa game. A lot of good explanations there of why stuff went wrong. And it did go wrong, no question about that, from an analytical standpoint. Not analytics, but an analytical standpoint of what went wrong with the Buffalo offense in last Saturday's game. And a really good point at the end, I thought, about the guys are going to be out there playing for their professional lives. I mean, you know, say what you want about the final preseason game. It doesn't count, obviously. It won't matter in the standings, but it'll matter. It'll matter to a lot of guys who are on that field trying to put one last-ditch effort out there to put something on tape that might make them a pro football player. A really good point by Mark Kelso.